All right, welcome this morning. Great to have you. Hey, real quick, will you help me join and just welcome all those who watch us online right now, all around the world? We love you guys. Welcome this morning to RCC. Great to have you. Hey, I want to tell you this, and thing is happening today, and we are actually having Welcome RCC today. Sometimes people ask, you know, hey, what do you guys believe about this, and how can I get involved? And my question is, how long have you been here? They'll be like, I've been here several months. I'm like, oh, man, you haven't been to Welcome RCC. You need to go. That'll help you so much in getting you kind of into the flow of what's happening here at RCC. So I want to encourage you to be there today at 10:30. If you have children in children's ministry, you can just keep them there. You can leave them there all week, all right? Whatever you need to do to go to Welcome RCC, we would love for you to show up. I also want to encourage you with this. This past week, we had a work day, and you might wonder how these things get set up. We had Catherine Thomas, one of our own here at RCC, help kind of went to, on behalf of our outreach team, said, hey, Swimming Pen Elementary, how can we help you? And so she went and asked, how can we serve them? How can we bless them? And they gave us two opportunities. One was building, basically assembling dozens of Chromebook cards that are needed in the classroom of the students. And number two is building a greenhouse. And so what happened on, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, on the 13th, RCC showed up big time. Volunteers showed up, put together Chrome carts, Chromebook carts together, and a crew was building a greenhouse. In fact, they started that day working. Then they started working on Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Then they went back on Thursday and finished it up. And just take a look at the finished product. We want to give a huge, big thank you to Fred Track, Joe Powers, Jim Castle for all your work, guys. Awesome job. So they're representing you well. And I want to encourage you with this because of the kids are so excited about what they're going to do with the greenhouse. They actually drew pictures of the greenhouse and thanked us and thanked our guys for building that greenhouse. And you can actually go out the door after the service and go to your left and you'll see the outreach missions table. You will see those pictures the kids drew. There's like 50 of them, all right? And so I think that's just so cool the way the RCC is making an impact right here in our community. And on top of that, I want to encourage you right now to go ahead and invite friends and family to be here next week because Barry Cameron, who wrote our ABC to Financial Freedom, is going to be here. Barry is a phenomenal friend, mentor, and he led himself out of debt through following the word of God. Then he led the church out of debt. And I tell you what Crossroads has done from just a couple of people now to 7,000 to 8,000 people in Texas is just phenomenal through Barry's leadership. And so he's going to be here. And I hope you'll bring people to go, man, you know what? You got to hear this guy. It's going to be well worth your time. So go ahead and mark that on your calendars. That's going to happen. If you can't make it on Sunday, be here Thursday night. He'll be here or Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30. You guys online can catch him next week. So today we're doing our third session in the ABCs of Financial Freedom. In the first week, we talked about attitude. That's A. A stands for attitude. And then B, we talked about bondage. That was last week. And Pastor Anthony led us in that message. Can we just give God the praise for Pastor Anthony? He did a phenomenal job, didn't he, last week? Awesome job. So if you didn't hear it, go to riverchristian.church/messages or rewind to pick up on either one of those two messages. Maybe you missed. But today we're looking at C, which stands for choice. Now, I'm a numbers guy, so when people come to me and say, hey, I want to, like in my family, hey, I want to do this, we want to get this project going, or I want to buy this, dad, usually it sounds a lot like Charlie Brown's parents to me, you know? It sounds like wah, 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 until they say the number. They go wah, 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 $300. I'm like, I heard that. I heard $300. Like, I heard that. Like that, I'm a numbers guy. I like math, and a multiplication is a mathematical term. And so I have a question I want to ask you, and if this is you, raise your hand. Would it be okay with you if God multiplied your resources? Raise your hand if it'd be okay with you if God multiplied your resources. You guys online, you can raise your hand too, all right? I think all of us are going to say, absolutely, Lord, multiply my resources. I want us to look at a story many of us have known, but maybe through a different lens today. And it's in Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start right here in verse 12. And here's what it says. Now the day began to, look at this, wear away. And the 12, there's a number, the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away and go into a surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging, get provisions, Jesus. For we're in this desolate place. Now, then Jesus said to them, look what he said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. And it says in verse 14, for there were about 5,000, notice this word, men. Men, it means there's more than 5,000. It could be up to 20,000. Now here's what I want you to do with the story. As we're reading through the Bible this year, I want you, as you come across a story, to put yourself in that story. What would you do? Like put your holy imagination on and put yourself in the story. And right now, I want you in this story to visualize that you are a disciple. You're a disciple. You're not only just a disciple, but you're on the Messiah search committee, okay? You're on the Messiah search committee. You got a great candidate right now. And I mean, this guy can heal the sick and raise the dead and walk on water. I mean, he's a phenomenal speaker, and he speaks and people show up. I mean, thousands and thousands of people. It's like a high attended Sunday, all right? The worship is going. It's incredible, just like it is today. And you're there watching all this, and the new Messiah you're checking out. He starts preaching around 11 o'clock. And then it starts going to 12 o'clock. You're like, wow, he's still going. It goes into 1 o'clock. It goes into 2 o'clock. Now you're about to miss the first half of the game, right? I mean, it goes into 3 o'clock. It goes into 4. It goes to 5 o'clock. I'm not kidding. Look what the text says. It says, when the day began to wear away. You know what that means in the Greek? When the day began to wear away. That's what that means. I mean, it starts getting late. Now, I want you to put your holy imagination on, put yourself in those shoes, and imagine you start, you know, you're getting kind of antsy, and you go to the other disciples, and you form kind of a committee all of a sudden, because that's what humans do. We like committees, all right? And so you form a committee, and you guys are talking in a circle, and you're going, this is just keeps going on and on. I mean, this is he's good, but no one can be this good. I mean, he's going to not stop. In fact, one of you says, if I don't eat something right now, I'm going to die. I mean, it's getting bad. People are getting hangry. And all of a sudden, one of you says, that's it. And you're like, what's it? Let's tell him that we need to take a break because the people are getting hungry. He seems to care a lot about the people. He didn't care much about us, but he cares a lot about the people. So they elect you as kind of a spokesperson to go talk to Jesus. So there you are. You're walking up to Jesus, and he's still speaking to thousands of people. And you walk up, and you said, excuse me, Jesus, excuse me. Excuse me, everybody. Jesus, this message you're doing, man, is phenomenal. This whole series you're doing in one night is incredible, all right? So, but we are concerned because the people are getting hungry, Lord, and we kind of think before the restaurants close, we ought to kind of wrap this up. And Jesus says, oh, you're concerned about the people. Yes, Lord, we're concerned about the people because they're getting hungry. And then Jesus says to you, all right, you give them something to eat. Now, that did not go as planned, right? That's not what you thought he was going to say. And so now you got to head back to the committee, and this is where it is the hard part. You come up to them, and they're like, so he's going to wrap it up? You're like, no, he's not wrapping it up. Well, what did you tell? Did you tell him that people were hungry? I use those exact words. Well, what did he say? He said, we ought to give him something to eat. And they're like, we're dead. Like, we don't have anything to feed these people with. And all of a sudden, some kid walks by with a Long John Silver bag, all right? And you guys just take it from them. And you look inside of them, it's got 2 pieces of fish, and it's got 5 loaves of bread. And immediately, Peter reaches in there and grabs one and starts eating on you. Like, Peter, stop it. This is all we have. This is all we got, Peter. And all of a sudden, someone says, that's it. And you're like, what's it? And they're like, tell him that's all we got. All we've got is 2 pieces of fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now, think about this. If you didn't know the story, because I know you know the end of the story. We just read it. If you didn't know the end of the story, you would think Jesus would obviously say, well, if that's all you got, then yeah, we'll have to kind of wrap this up and give everybody dismissed. That's what you would think. And so all of a sudden, they send you back out because you're the spokesperson, right? You go back out to Jesus and say, Jesus, all we've got is 2 pieces of fish and 5. Actually, Lord, we have 4.5 now because Peter grabbed one. But we have about 5 rolls of bread, and we're kind of thinking, you know, we ought to go back to our original plan and kind of wrap this up. And Jesus says, so all you got is 2 fish and you have 5 rolls, almost 5. I don't know how Peter is, but you have almost 5 rolls, and that's all you've got. Yes, Lord, that's all we've got. And he says, okay, well, go ahead and split people up in groups of 50. You're like, what? God, we don't have no snack packs for all these people. He's like, that's okay. Go ahead and split everybody up in groups of 50. Now imagine that, splitting up 20,000 people into groups of 50. Can you imagine how hard that would be? I want you to think about this for just a moment. I don't know about you, but have you ever worked with people? You ever worked with people? It ain't easy. All right, and all of a sudden you're trying to split up groups of 50 people, and I know one of them is probably thinking, hey guys, I remember the story in the back in the Old Testament, Elisha took 12 loaves and then he was able to multiply it and feed 100 people. Maybe that's what's going to happen here. And that's what many of us think was happening, is that Jesus multiplied it. Why don't you go back to the text in verse 16. It says, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples and set them before the crowd. Now, I think what happened here is that Peter took a roll out. He took a whole row and he said, God bless it. Go ahead and bless it. And Jesus right there said, Father, I bless this. And he probably tore the roll in half and gave half to Peter. Now he has less than he thought he was going to have. He's like, you want to pray some more, Lord? You want to keep praying some more? And I got a half now? And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, go ahead, Peter, and hand it out to the people. I've already blessed it. And he goes out, and I can imagine him going to the first group of 50, and he's just got a half roll in his hand, and he's probably handing it out to people saying, just take a little bit, just take a little piece. That's what I would say. Just take a little piece. You pig, that's more than a little piece. I can just imagine him all of a sudden getting to the end of the row, and it's just a crumb left. And as sweat is coming down his forehead, there he is, and someone reaches it out. And there in Peter's hand, there is when the roll all of a sudden just multiplies itself. See, I believe the miracle, and scholars believe the miracle did not happen in the master's hands. The miracle happened in the disciples' hands. And here's the spiritual truth, and it's just a reality. When you give, then the multiplication happens. It's only when you give that things are multiplied. It's only when you give does God show up supernaturally and do what you didn't think he would do. And a lot of times what happens is, because of spiritual warfare, we believe that lies are truth, and we believe that truth are actually lies. And I would say it this way on the screen: we have fallen for lies that sound like truth, and we dismiss truth that sounds like lies. And because of that, that's why we end up in certain our situations, financial situations that are just a mess, because we don't listen to God's voice regards to our finances. Let me tell you about the first lie that sounds like truth. The first one is this: all the church is interested in is my money. That's the first lie. It sounds like a truth, but it's a lie. And maybe you've heard this, maybe you thought that. A preacher gets up and starts talking, and all of a sudden, you know, really? That's all they talk about. All they talk about is money. And you know, so fascinating, my experience is preachers never talked about money. Why? Because they were too scared to talk about money. And then you have the other side of it, where you have this guy in Georgia who's a pastor, and he's trying to get $65 million from his church so he can get his private jet. And I can see why some people have a reaction to this. But I think what's interesting is, let's just be transparent. Let's just be honest. A large majority of people who go to churches like RCC don't give anything. The largest majority of people that come to a church like RCC don't give anything. So if the church is all about money, we're not very good at it. We don't send a bill at the end of the month for services rendered. Hey, you know, here's the invoice. You came to 3 services this month. Your kids were in the student ministry. Your little ones were in the RCC kids ministry. And here's what you owe us. We don't do that. RCC is not about money. We don't refuse ministry to anybody. We open the doors to everybody free of charge. Now try that at a restaurant. Try that going to a store and just taking something and walking on out and see how that goes for you. Here's the thing: businesses are about money, churches are about ministry. Businesses are about consumers, churches are about worshipers. And let's be honest, the church exists in a large part to give itself away. That's why we're here, to give ourselves away. Here's the deal: money issues, let's just be honest, they are killing relationships. They are killing marriages. They are wounding community. Money issues are saddling our kids with debt. They're crippling our nation, and they're putting our future in danger. And if I did not teach what Jesus said about money and about getting to financial freedom, how loving and how caring of a person and a pastor would I be if I don't talk about the very thing that is destroying many of our lives? I mean, you need to fire me. And sincerely, I don't want anything for you in this series or from you. It is for you. It is about you. It's about God blessing your life. I want you to go and experience financial freedom. I tell you what, you'll be so thankful because God's going to work in a powerful way. And I want to compliment any of you who've been honestly engaging, courageously engaging to not believe this lie that we just talked about. If you're new here, I want to encourage you to evaluate us and ask yourself this question right here. Will people's lives really be better or not if they follow this financial wisdom from God? If you're new here, ask yourself that question. Will people's lives be better or not if they follow this financial wisdom from God? Now, here's the next one I imagine all of us are falling for. This is a lie, but it sounds like a truth, and here it is. More money and more things will make me what? Make me more happy. I mean, we've all believed that one. It sounds like a truth, but the richest man, the wealthiest man ever lived, his name was Solomon. Here's what he said. Whoever loves money never has what, church? Never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never what? Satisfied with their income. Fam, I could preach this truth for the next 6 months and you go, I know that's true. I believe that's true. But when you walk out there and you see that brand new car out there, you're like, that would make me happy. Man, if I could get that beach house, and boom, I would finally have arrived. Actor Jim Carrey put it this way. I think everybody should be rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. And here's the truth. Having more of what you already doesn't satisfy will not make you more satisfied. Lie number three, that sounds like a truth, but it's really a lie. And here it is. It's my money, and I can do whatever I want with it. Jesus lived in a culture that believed this, and so he told a story, and here's how the story goes. It starts in Matthew chapter 25, and here's the story he said. He told, again, Jesus says, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, and to the other 2 bags, and to another one bag, and each according to his ability, and then the owner went on his journey. Now, the story begins with this guy getting ready to go on a long trip. Maybe he's going off to Hawaii. We don't know, but he's taking off, and the question I have is, whose wealth is it? Whose wealth? Whose wealth does this belong to? It belongs to who? The owner. The servants, they're there, and they're the managers. They're the managers of this guy's wealth. And each one of them is given a bag of gold. A bag of gold in today's time would be like $30,000. So it's pretty hefty. I mean, $30,000 each bag. And the owner is basically saying, I want you to take care of my stuff that I am entrusting to you. I want you to invest it. I want you to multiply it. I want you to grow it. I'm entrusting my wealth to you, which leads to truth number one. Oftentimes sounds like a lie, but it's a truth. And here it is. We're not owners of anything. We're just managers. We're not owners of anything. We're just managers. They were not the owners. They were managers of this guy's stuff. And a good manager takes their cue from their owner. A good manager says, thank you for entrusting me with your stuff. Now, what are your goals? What do you want me to accomplish with your stuff? And when we meet with a financial planner, if he's any good, he will say to you, all right, Tom. All right, Susie. All right, Catherine. What are your goals with your money? Right? I mean, I get really concerned if I went to a financial planner and he said to me, man, I'm so glad we have this relationship right now because my kids are wanting a new pool and I don't know how I was going to pay for it. Now I'm going to be able to pay for it with your money. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. I'm the owner. Like, you're supposed to help me accomplish my goals, not your goals, with my stuff. And the point that Jesus is trying to make is that God is the owner, and he has given each one of us different amounts, and we're just the managers of what he has given. And the early church, man, they got this. Look at what the early church says, and look what happened, and here's how they operated in Acts chapter 4. They, our brothers and sisters of Christ in the early church, they felt that what they owned was not their own. They felt like what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. Now, that's radical. They understood something. They understood that what they owned was not their own. They understood they were just managers. And a good manager follows their cues from the owner about what God wants to do with his stuff. Now, the early followers, they got this. They put on a clinic. They understood they were just managers. And whenever that attitude of what they own was not their own, whenever that happens in a group of Christ followers, lives are changed, the hungry are fed, people who are far from God are brought near to God through Jesus Christ. And if you think you're an owner, just go home when you get done with today, go home and look at all that you possess and think this: I'm going to leave this all behind for somebody else. Everything you have, your car, your clothes, your hobbies, your decorating, your paintings, whatever it is you like, that's going to be left to somebody else. There's the old phrase, you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer, right? You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Here's the second truth we need to choose to believe. It sounds like a lie, and here it is. We're responsible to advance the owner's goals, not our own goals. We're responsible to advance the owner's goals, not our own goals. Once the owner left, what did the managers do with what's been entrusted to them? Look what it says in Matthew chapter 25. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and guess what? He gained five more. So also the one who had two bags of gold, he gained two more. But the man who had received one bag, what did he do? He went off and he dug a hole. Look at this. He dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The first two accepted the challenge to put their owner's resources to work to accomplish his goals, but the third was tight-fisted. He didn't share it. He didn't invest it. And so my question today is this: what about you? What about you? Have you put some of the owner's resources, the money God has given you, have you put it to advance the owner's goals, or is it all going to your own goals? What about you? Now, there are basically five things you can do with money. Five things, that's it. Number one is you can spend it. Like, we all feel like we have the spiritual gift of spending, don't we? Like, I'm good at that one, all right? I can do that one. Spend it. Next thing to do is you can pay debt. You know, we don't like doing this one, but we have to keep doing it so we can buy things we can't afford to keep up with people we don't even like, all right? We got to pay taxes. That's another thing you can do with money. Another one, save it. You know, almost like maybe we'll have some left. We can save it. And then we give. Now, here's the really odd thing about this is this typically is the order how we prioritize our finances, right? And I want you to look at it this way. We spend it. It's all about me. Paying debt so I can get more stuff. Pay taxes. It's all about me and America, right? How about save it? It's about me. And then on top of that, maybe the last is God. Now, if this was the Olympics, we would get first place, we go to me. Second place, we go to me. Third place, go to me. Fourth place, which is basically, you know, hey, good try, goes to me. At the very bottom is kind of like the Jamaican bobsled team, right? We just think it's cute you guys just showed up, all right? And fifth place is God. And in spite of this priority, we still ask God, God, will you get involved in my finances? God, will you get involved and help me out? I need this promotion. I need this position. I need this raise. I need this bonus. And if you'll do that for me, God, I will honor you with the last place in my life. Now, I know many of us would never say that, but that's how we practice. That's how a lot of us live our life. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty. All I'm trying to do is make a point that all of us at some point of our lives have done this. We get our priorities out of whack. And I don't think anybody here is saying, God, I am trying to put you in last place in my life. I don't believe that at all. Some of you might push back and say, well, he's not in last place. He's like in third place, right? He's getting a bronze medal. And I would say this: I know something about God. And here it is. God doesn't want to be in fifth or fourth or third or second place. God wants to be in first place in every area of your life. He's the owner. We're just the managers. And when God is in the last place, you make it really much more difficult for him to bless your life. The Bible teaches that we are to reverse the order in our life. You want to know what that order is supposed to look like from a biblical perspective? Here it is. We are supposed to reverse it. We are supposed to, first thing we do is we give God first. And then the Bible teaches us to save and pay yourself a little bit. And then third, pay Caesar and pay your taxes. And fourth, pay your debt off because you have the obligation and then you live on the rest. That's the priority that the Bible teaches. We see this in Proverbs where it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, or even the second, but the with the what? With the first fruits, with the very first fruits of all, not some, but all of your crops. Honor God first. The idea that everything I have comes from you. I honor you first, God. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. Now, how does this system work? Well, here's how it works. If you're like me, I kind of like illustrations. And here's one right here, okay? So this is basically all that you get from a paycheck, all right? Let's just say this $10 right here represents whatever you get that comes to you either once a week or bi-monthly or monthly, whatever it is. Maybe it's $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. It's just whatever that amount is. The very first thing I do when before I spend anything else, the first thing I do is I bring the tithe and I bring it to God. And then the next thing I do is I save, 10% I save, and then I live on the rest. That's the biblical standard of how I operate. And I know I probably moved a little fast for you, so let me do it again, all right, real quick, all right? Here we go. Let's do it again. So this is all I got, and so this is what comes in. It comes to my bank account, or I get a paycheck or whatever. The first thing I do before I pay the mortgage company, their insurance, I don't give because this is God's. This isn't even mine. The first 10, I bring the tithe. It's not 1 or 2 or 4 or 5 or 7%. It's 10%. The tithe, that's yours, God. That's yours. I'm bringing the tithe. I can't give to God something that doesn't really belong to me. It's like me borrowing your car, and all of a sudden I go, hey, I want to give you something for Christmas. You're like, what? I want to give you this car. You're like, that's my car. You can't give me my car. You borrowed my car. That's God's. And then the next one is 10%, I save, and then I live on the rest. I'm going to tell you something right now. You operate this way with your life, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be out of financial debt. You're going to be out of that back-breaking financial consequences. And another way of looking at it is this right here. It's called the 10-10-80 plan. 10%, that's yours, God. 10%, I'm paying myself for the future. And then 80%, I live on the rest. And I just want you to think about this for a moment. If your children, if your grandchildren live this way with their life, you know in your heart they would be just fine. You know in your heart they would thrive. You would be so proud of them. You would know God's going to protect them. God's going to bless them if they did a 10-10-80 plan. You know that in your heart. And my question is, why don't you know it for yourself? This works. This works. It absolutely works. My wife and I are living testimony. It works. And God, I'm telling you what, I offered this one time years ago, and somebody came to me about a month later, sent me this email. He said, Nathan, I appreciate your talk on finances. I have reprioritized some things. I can tell you today, for the very first time in 23 years, I am finally credit card free, consumer debt free, made the last payment on my last card today. How awesome is that? And I can tell you that can be your story. So let me conclude this story with the way that Jesus concluded with his story. Here's what happened. The owner comes back from his trip, and look what happens here. He looks at the managers, and after a long time, the manager of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And at the very first two reported their owners what they had done. They had invested. They had gotten really serious about advancing the owner's wealth, his goals, because they understood they were just managers. They weren't owners. One went from 5 bags of gold to 10 bags of gold. One went from 2 to 4. The owner's ecstatic. And look what he says. Well done, my faithful, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful and with a few things. Notice this phrase next. Look what he says. I will now put you in charge of what? Many things. Come and share your master's happiness because we're going to Disneyland, right? I mean, this is incredible. So here's the third truth that you need to choose, and it's going to sound like a lie, but it's the truth, and here it is. Giving to God is the only way out of my financial problems. It's always sounded like a financial lie to many of you, but I'm telling you right now, if there's ever one that sounds like a lie, that's the one that's the truth. I promise you that. I guarantee it's the truth. Now, did you notice that the owner said to the manager, you've been faithful with a few things, now I'm going to put you in charge of many things? Why is he saying that? You have been faithful with a few things, now I can trust you with many and much more. Here's how I know this is true, because Jesus said it. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, be poured into your lap with the measure you use. Guess what? It will be measured to you. He's saying when you give to God, he will always give back to you. You are never, ever going to outgive God. Amen? You're never going to outgive God. You're not going to be the very first person in the history of humanity who says, man, I'm out of everything because I gave to God and now I'm dirt broke. Nobody's ever said that. No, because God will always outgive you. He might bless you in ways you never dreamed. I tell you, that's exactly what he's going to do. And the truth is, what many people do when they start having financial problems, the very first thing they do, they cut out their giving. They'll start saying, you know, I'm behind saving for my retirement, so I'm gonna stop giving to God in order to save for retirement. The problem with that is they're the very people that need to give to God. Why? Because give, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. That's the principle. Either you choose that by faith or you don't. It's a faith thing. Either live by faith or you don't live by faith. Now, I'll illustrate the point by telling you about a story that came out of ABC, the Financial Freedom book that we gave out to everybody. There's a story in there, it really kind of hit me, because it was talking about an Arizona desert. There's a shack that people would travel by, and they would drop by to get something to drink. And so when you would pull up to the shack, you would see a pump, and next to the pump, you'd see a glass of water, and you would see a note next to the glass of water that's next to the pump. And here's what the note said. If you use this water to prime the pump, you'll have all the water you want to drink. But if you drink this water in the jar, just throw this note away. And that's exactly the principle. If we invest a little water, what's going to happen is it'll prime the pump, and all of a sudden the water that you need is going to keep coming and keep coming. It's going to keep coming. And the truth is, when I give to God, when I give to him what is already his, what's already his, he trusts me with more. And if you want God to get involved in your financial problems, you're going to have to start putting him first in your financial life. So let me share with you a sobering implication of Jesus' story. Here's what it says. If God's the owner and we're just the managers, then that means that one day we're going to have to give account to God for how we managed his stuff. And then the owner of the story came home. And when he came home, it was accountability time. And the two had grown their investment. They got rewarded by receiving more. But the third guy had his bag of gold. Remember what he did with it? He hid it. He didn't invest it. He didn't share it. And here's what he heard from the owner. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who already has 10 bags. Notice that the one who already has a lot is going to get more. Why? Because he can be trusted with it. And then he says this, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Family, Jesus could not be any more clear about this. And here it is. We are accountable to the owner. We're accountable to the owner. We're just managers. I mean, none of this is ours. Whatever it is, whatever you got, it's not really yours. I mean, and one day you have to answer to the owner, and I think it'll be one of the biggest wake-up calls in our lives. And here's what I'm asking and begging. Don't fall for the financial lies that sound like truth. Instead, we lean into the truth that Jesus tells us, and here it is. We're not owners, man. We're just managers. Everything belongs to God. Number two, we're responsible to advance the owner's goals, not our goals. We go to the owner and say, God, what is your goals? And number three, giving to God is the only way out of my financial problems. Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. And as we close today, I want to put a choice in your hands, and here it is. If you have one of these, I want you to go ahead, grab it and look at it. If you don't have one of these cards, raise your hand right now. We have people in the back that'll give you one. So raise your hand if you don't have one of these cards. You guys online can go to riverchristian.church/ABC. riverchristian.church/ABC to see one of these cards. So keep your hand in the air if you don't have one. And somebody will bring you a card right now. Just keep your hand in the air until somebody brings you a card. They're on their way. this right here, we want to give you a choice. We want to give you an opportunity right now to take a step of faith. For many of us, we've never done before. And I will tell you this. This was new to me until as I continue to grow in my walk with Jesus Christ, I realized that this is not the end. This is the beginning. And you want to be released of your financial problems? Man, start here. Don't end it. I mean, one day I want to work to tithing. No, you start with that. And that's what I'm asking you today. When you make a choice today, I will start tithing faithfully to my church. And some of you are already doing that. I want to ask you right now to take the next step. And that is something Rachel and I have been challenged by. And that is, okay, God, you have blessed us by doing this. Can we go more? Can we even go beyond that? It's called offerings. And can we give offerings to you, God? And the answer is absolutely. And when you do that, man, it's just like priming that pump and it just continues to come in your life. I can't explain it. It's totally supernatural. It's a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual reality. You could take that step today. I want to give above a tithe. I want to give offerings above the tithe because this is just bringing it. I want to start giving. Maybe those of us have already been doing that. I'll continue to give to faithfully above the tithe to my church. Maybe your church is somewhere else. I want to encourage you to do that. But right now, I want you to listen from God. I want you to hear from God. What is God telling you to do? What is God? How is he calling you right now faithfully? Not from a human standpoint, from a supernatural standpoint. God, right now I want to follow your voice and not human nature's voice. I want to follow your voice and not my own voice. Well, I want to listen to you. You're the owner. I'm just a manager. What do you want me to do? I want you to listen to God right now as Ty and Michelle sing this song over us. Just listen to it. Sit in your seats. You can go ahead and start filling the card out. I'm going to fill it out with you. I'm making my commitment. Rachel and I are making our commitment today. You can join us in that. But right now, just listen to the song, and I'll tell you what to do next.